Joe and I have been very much drawn towards 1 John as being a book that's important for us to look at as a church. It's something that begins with foundational truth, and so we're going to look this morning at the first four verses of 1 John. We're not going to look at them in huge depth because Jesus wants to do something particular this morning, and so we need to make time and room for him to do that. And it would be really silly for me to preach instead, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. So 1 John. 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Foundational truth, that's about Jesus, by the way, in case you didn't know, that's about Jesus. Jesus, who told the story of house built on the rock and the house built on the sand, just making that very, very clear picture. You can't really tell the difference between a house that's built on the rock and a house that's been built on the sand on a beautiful fine day. It's when stuff goes wrong, when the wind and the storms and the rain come, that you can tell the difference in foundations. And in our lives, on a beautiful day, you can't tell the difference whether we've got good or bad foundations. It's on a tough day where those foundations get shaken and they need to be strong for us to stand. And one of the key foundations for a Christian that is under constant assault is about who Jesus is about the reality of Jesus. In John's time, there were battles with the Gnostics. We don't want to go into all of the stuff about the Gnostics. It's both interesting and boring at the same time. They had various theories that lessened and twisted the truth about Jesus, whether it's that he only seemed to be human or whether that he was, some believed he was adopted by God later on in life. They were trying to deal with some of the problems that came with Jesus being fully human and yet divine. But their theories on God and Jesus and faith and the meaning of life eroded at the truth about Jesus. And that's continued. It's continued through the generations. The theories have multiplied through the generations, and all of them chip away at the truth about Jesus. Jesus and, or Jesus not needed. Here, John talks about testifying and proclaiming, and there's two elements to that. One is that he's making a solemn statement under oath. I promise you that what I'm saying is true. And the two is that it's an assertion that's offered on first-hand authentication of a fact. Not only do I promise you that I'm telling you the truth, but I promise you it's something that I saw for myself. This is someone that I saw for myself. I was there. Both are true. Solemn statement coming out of first-hand experience. And that gives us our foundation. So three foundations for us to think about this morning. The first is about Jesus' unsurpassable greatness. I've done it in three things that sound nearly the same, so you can remember them. Unsurpassable greatness. Verse 1. That which was from the beginning. That's Jesus. That which was from the beginning. Jesus, the creator of the world. John 1, as opposed to 1 John 1, written by the same guy, begins with, "In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God, Jesus was with God. And the Word was God, Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." Jesus, creator of the world. Jesus with God. Jesus, God. He's beyond time. He's outside time. He was before time. He will be after time. And that doesn't just mean late, that's a vineyard thing. He's before and after time and outside time. In John chapter 8, when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, he says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews said to him, "You're not yet 50 years old and you've seen Abraham." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Sounds a bit like his dad, doesn't he? I am. At this, they were not thrilled. They picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. You should know, when Jesus hid himself in the middle of a massive crowd, how does someone hide themselves? They don't just go. It was supernatural. It was supernatural. You can't hide yourself in the middle of a crowd. I am. He existed before Abraham. He talked with Abraham. Abraham in heaven saw Jesus' day come. It's pretty cool stuff, isn't it? This is Jesus. And so in Genesis, which was mirrored in 1 John, which says in the beginning, when God said, "Let us make man in our own image," the "us" is him and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Now, I know you know this, but it's really good to remember it. And actually, as you remember it, it does your faith good, doesn't it? Well, it does my faith good. It's up to you what it does with your faith. I hope it does it good. His unsurpassable greatness. Secondly, his unarguable humanity. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. That we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we've seen it, we testify to it, we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. John touched Jesus. John heard him. John saw him. The disciples saw him. He was real. He was as real as I am as you look at me. He was as human as I am as you look at me, yet without sin. Hebrews says this, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." I wonder if you've ever said this. You might be saying it even now, which is why you're not listening to me. "No one understands what I'm going through. No one understands what I've been through." Now, that can be a statement that just comes out of real despair and isolation. But often, it's also one of those hands-off statements. "You don't know. You can't know. No one can speak into my life. unless you've been through what I have. And there's a sense in which, humanly speaking, that's true for all of us, because there is nobody else in the world who is Jeff Baker, 52 years old, married to Joe with two kids, Tim and Matthew. So how can you possibly know what I'm going through? It can get a bit silly. By the way, I quite like who I am and who I'm married to, and my kids. But I want you to think for a moment of what Jesus went through. The levels of not being understood, the levels of rejection, the levels of injustice. We've all experienced injustice, but I don't think any of us have managed to live a life of sinless perfection and be crucified. The levels of temptation. We've all been tempted, and some of us have been tempted to a huge degree, but I don't think any of us have fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and then gone out into the wilderness to be tempted specifically by Satan. Do you get the idea that Jesus might understand? He was not so removed from our world that he didn't understand what we were going through. He's gone ahead of us, and he's done it without sin. I don't know about you, but I want to talk to people who've gone through it and done better than I have. I don't just want people to sit in my mess with me, go and tell me about it, I'm worse than you. That might make me feel better for a moment, but it's not going to help me. Jesus both understands and knows how to overcome. Spirit is in us. He can show us how. He can help us in our weakness. So we come to the King of Kings, but we also come to our older brother. We come to the King who calls us his friend. We need grace and mercy. We are helpless without it. But that's what we're going to find. He understands. He knows how to overcome. Unarguable humanity. And thirdly, unfathomable love. I bet you can't spell that. Unfathomable love. I can't remember the exact conversation because it was over 25 years ago, but I can remember the gist of this conversation. I was teaching in a pretty rough school in the West Midlands. And I was teaching a little Indian boy who was in a special needs class. He was in a class with a lot of kids with huge behavioral problems and broken families and abuse and all kinds of stuff. And he was in because he didn't understand English. He was actually an intelligent boy, but he hadn't been taught to speak English and the resources weren't there. And so he was really struggling and he was doing his best. He was struggling with English. There was clearly little money in the family. He was suffering quite a lot of racial abuse. And he was living in a violent, socially disadvantaged area. And one day, in tears of exasperation and in broken English, he suddenly said this to me. This is the gist of it. He said, "I was a prince." He said, "I had servants." This is a little boy in a special needs class in a social disadvantaged area. And he said, "I was a prince and I had servants." And the family, in the hope of a better life, had given up what they had in India. I don't know what they thought they were doing. At this time, they believed that this was a place where there was going to be huge prosperity. Probably while Dad built a career and Mom was part of a large Indian community, he actually ended up bearing the brunt of it at school. It was very upsetting. It was a moving story. And he underwent real cost, hopefully for greater long-term good for his family, or at least that's what they believed. That doesn't even give an ounce of understanding what Jesus went through. but it maybe connects with our emotions. The limitations that he willingly chose. He wasn't just a prince who had servants. He could command legions of angels with a word. He was the King of Glory. Would you swap? Would you? It wasn't just about his death on the cross. It was about the King of Glory who could command legions of angels who lived in a perfect environment full of light, being born to helplessness. It was about the Creator of the world being unable to speak or walk. 33 years restricted by a human frame, limited to time and space. Away from home, treated as a liar, a madman, an evil man, offering life to those he loved, only to see them reject it. He went through it because of a love so deep that we can't comprehend it. That same love is the love that he has for us now. And the love that he always will. It's unfathomable. Because it doesn't matter how deep we go into an understanding of God's love, we'll never get there. So we look for God to move in our lives, in our world. We look to see more of the resurrection power of Jesus. We can't answer all of the questions as to why we don't see more. But I can tell you this. Because of his unsurpassable greatness, he can do anything. Because of his unarguable humanity, he understands. And we can go to him. The message puts it this way. We don't have a high priest who's out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing. Experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Take the mercy, accept the help. And because of his unfathomable love, he will act in our lives. He always has. He always will. Don't be deceived, don't be disappointed, don't be distracted into believing anything different, but that he will always act in our lives. So that's the talky bit. What we're going to do now is we're going to let Jesus minister to us. And I don't want you to get freaked out. It's like, oh, we've done the talky bit, now what, God bit, Jesus bit, ooh, steady on. Jesus, as I was praying and preparing, Jesus said he wants to bring healing today and restoration. And he wants to bring rest and he wants to bring generous grace. So that was the bit where I came alive. Because sometimes when I'm talking, I get bored of listening to myself because I know what I'm going to say. But I don't know what Jesus is going to do. I just know it's going to be good. And I know that if he says he's going to do something, then he'll do something. So this is the exciting bit. He wants to reach out in power. He wants to demonstrate his love and kindness. He wants to get alongside us as one who understands. I'm going to read to you a parable that Jesus told. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place, saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. In that story, you see someone who had the love to reach out. Someone who had the understanding to know what was needed. Someone who had the power and the resources to do something about it. Someone who had the riches to provide for needs and beyond needs. And that was someone who was reaching out even to those who'd rejected him. He was a Samaritan. He was helping a Jew. That is a wonderful picture of what it can look like. Of how God calls us to live. But that's not what we're thinking about right now. It's shown ultimately in what Jesus did for us. Who rescued us from the thief. Who comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And who came himself to bring life and full life. So what's going to happen now is we're going to meet Jesus on the road. We're going to let him show us what state we're in at the moment. And we're going to let him show us what we need. And we're going to ask him to minister to us in his grace and mercy. We're going to let him take care of us. We're going to let him provide for us. We're going to listen to what he has to say to us. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, I know that you want to come and you want to minister today because you've told me. And that is wonderful. And together we stand now and we say, we want to hear your voice, Lord, this morning. Only your voice. Only your voice. And right now, in Jesus' name, we bind every other force, every demonic voice that would want to speak into this situation. You are bound. You will be silent. In Jesus' name and by the power of his blood. And we invite, Lord Jesus, you to speak to us through your Spirit and you to minister to us. Only you, Lord. Only you, Lord. Now as we do this, some of you may struggle to feel anything or see anything. Press in. Don't worry. Some of you will end up in tears. You may even be sobbing out loud and that might be embarrassing. Don't worry. It's okay. The reason for that is because Jesus is bringing healing. Some of you may need others to stand with you afterwards and pray with you. But Jesus is going to move in people's lives this morning. So do everything you can do to be in the place where you can receive from him. You've got a choice now. You can just sit here and let it wash over you and then nothing will happen. And you'll go, see, God doesn't move. But it's not God who's not moving, it's you who's not moving. Or you can engage. Don't miss out. Especially when you know that Jesus wants to do stuff today. Ask for the Holy Spirit's help. Let him empower your imagination. If you're not used to this, please don't freak out. Trust me, I've done it before with folk in different contexts, and God moves powerfully. And if you can't trust me, you know you can trust Jesus. And if you can't trust Jesus, you need to come and see me later. Are you ready? You're lying on that hot, dusty road. And just imagine yourself there. And you've been robbed. And you've been beaten. What's been stolen from you? What's the thief, the devil? What's the devil stolen from you? What's he been trying to steal from you? Those riches that God's given you, that he's trying to take away, what are they? Your identity, your peace, your hope, your purpose, your faith. Ask Jesus to show you right now what's been stolen or being stolen. If it helps you to write it down, then write it down and then return to that picture in your mind. You see people walking by. Some of them are too threatened. Some of them are too fearful. Some of them are too self-absorbed. Some of them don't know what to say or do. Maybe you feel let down. And the enemy is using that to bring bitterness and resentment. And to break relationship. If you need to forgive them, do it right here, right now. Don't let those things get in the way of your healing. Just forgive them right here, right now. And ask for the Holy Spirit's help to do that. Okay, we're going to move away from that focus now because that's not the focus. It's about meeting Jesus. Turn away from them. Look down the road in the other direction. Wait in anticipation because help is very close by. It's Jesus. Gets down off the donkey. He kneels beside you. And he asks you, what's happened? Just tell him where it hurts. Tell him what you need. Tell him what's been stolen from you. And Jesus begins to minister to those hurts. He pours in the oil and the wine. He bandages the wounds. It's okay now because he's here. The thief can't touch you. You're safe. You can totally trust him. Just ask Jesus to pour out healing now in those areas that have been touched on. Ask him to pour out healing in your heart, in your mind. And soothing and comfort and healing. Receive from him in a safe place. Jesus bends down and he quietly speaks to you. He speaks some words of comfort, some words of reassurance, some words of hope, some words of love. What's he saying to you? What's he saying to you? If you can't hear him clearly, ask him to speak again. Ask him what his word is for you. He's taking you to a safe place now, and he's putting people in place to care for you. Just ask Jesus who they are, who are your safe places. Who are the people that you can trust to speak into your life? He's got those valuable coins in his hand that will ensure you have more than enough. What are the gifts and the strengths that he's given to others to help you? What are the gifts and the strengths that he's giving you? Just ask him now. As he leaves you in this place of rest and peace, with everything that you need to progress into health and wholeness, you hear him say that if anything else is needed at a later date, he's going to provide that too. So even though there are times of feeling that there is incompleteness, Jesus hasn't finished yet. And he never leaves us. His Spirit is with us. So rest. Let's take a moment of rest and let the Holy Spirit's peace and let the Holy Spirit's strength and let the Holy Spirit's joy enter you in greater measure. In greater measure. Maybe take a moment just to smile now as you think about that meeting, how there you were all alone, and suddenly you discovered that you weren't. And there you were broken and beaten, and suddenly there was healing. And there you were feeling isolated, and suddenly there was a friend. Healing's come. What you'd lost has been restored or is being restored. And though it's really nice being in that B&B and you could stay there for ages, it's time to get up now. Ready for the next step of the journey. Knowing that you can return at any time when you've been beat up, and Jesus will be there. Just open your eyes now. It may be that, I know for some God has really met with them right here, right now. And it hasn't finished yet. It's raised stuff, and you just need to go back and deal with it later on. There's some who were really helpful just to pray out of what's happened this morning. Say, God's spoken to me about this, and I'd like some prayer, and we'll gladly offer that at the end. It may be that over the next few weeks God really spoke to you in special ways, and you can share that with us and just show that how he was at work this morning. It may be that you've learned something new about how you can meditate on the Word of God, and how you can meet with Jesus in ways that you didn't realize you could, and you can do that anytime. So what we're going to do now, I'm going to just ask Beck to come up and lead us in a couple of songs. We're going to make the mat available for those who want prayer, but I'd just like, if I can borrow your iPhone, please. Or what's on it, actually, is more important. Thank you. Kim had a sense that this was a word for someone today. It comes out of a picture, and I think it's it is. The picture was given of two blankets. The first is a regular blanket that you have to hold on to and wrap around you, but it can fall off or uncover you. The second is one of those kind of snuggle blankets that you can kind of zip into it and wear. It's got a hood and it covers you, arms, legs, the lot. Right down to the tips of your toes. Can't be blown away, can't uncover you, you can walk around in it. And the sense is that what God is saying is that he wants you to step into him and carry him with you everywhere. To kind of snuggle into him, for him to embrace and hug you, and for him to surround you. The sense of wearing God like an item of clothing. Not just carry him around like a security blanket that can be blown away in a storm or trouble, or dropped or lost or thrown aside when it gets too hot, but to have him wrapped around you and have that awareness of his presence with you constantly. So if that's you and that resonates with you, take that with you today.